Good morning, and sounds like you can hear us on Zoom. Lord willing, we'll read through Psalm number 86 this morning. Our time of prayer, we'll meditate on some scripture before we pray, and hopefully draw out a few notes from the psalm to think about in line with praying. So Psalm number 86. We'll read through it and we'll come back and circle back on some things. It says in verse 1, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. If you have delivered, you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign of your favor that those who hate me may see and be put to shame because you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me." Amen. So in this psalm, just a few things to think about in the context of our prayer time. This is many prayer requests in this psalm, and you can see them jump out as David's asking for different things. Just a few that I marked in verse 1. Obviously, he's asking for a listening ear from God. We see this time and time again in the psalm. So he's asking God to incline his ear, listen. He's asking for preservation in verse 2, preserve my life, be gracious to me. You'll see this in this psalm, I think it's four times David is calling on God to be gracious, asking for grace. Verse 3, be gracious. Verse 4, gladden the soul of your servant, gladden my soul. Again in verse 5, give ear, listen, listen again, calling on God to listen to him. Verse 7, turn to me. And then in verse 8, show me a sign of your favor. So lots of different specific requests in an overall psalm that acts as a prayer request for David to God. And we get a glimpse, not until verse 14, of the context of his prayer, why he's asking God for these things. And it's verse 14, "O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, and they do not set you before them." And that's really all we get in terms of the description of what David is praying from, or praying to God to deliver him from, to preserve him from. That's the context in this psalm, is verse 14. But there's some good things to meditate on as we think about prayer this morning. Asking God, incline your ear, because what he's poor and needy. He's confessing that humility, and that's something we need to remember to do, is that we come before God needy, and we know that. It's a reminder we see David doing that. But he also comes before God with a correct vision of who he is before God and who God is to him. You see that in a few verses. Verse 2, preserve my life for I am godly. And he just defines himself as someone who's with God, someone who's seeking to be faithful to God, someone who's like God in his pursuit of God. Save your servant. I'm the servant of God. That's who I am. If that was missing, it would just be, you know, the difference between, you know, stopping someone on the street and saying, help, you know, help me, my car is about to explode, my hood's up, I need help, random person, or saying, oh, there's my brother over there, he's walking down the street, hey, you know, Jonah or James or someone, for me, can you come help me? That's, I mean, that's a big difference. You have a relationship with that person. Hey, brother, come help me. Well, this is important. That makes a difference between, I'm going to go, I heard about this, is Israel's God, and I'm just going to go, maybe he'll help me. And no, you have a relationship. You're the servant of God. You're godly in your pursuit of God. You're seeking to be faithful to God. Your servant who trusts in you, you have a track record of seeking to put your trust in this God and be faithful to him. And he says, you are my God. So this idea of possessing God as his, that's how he's seeing God when he says, incline your ear, Lord, my God. Incline your ear to your servant. You know, it's a big difference than, hey, I heard you can help. Can you do that? So you see that in here. And then the first request, and it's just a reminder, and you see those over and over in the Psalms, is, you know, when you think about what we come to God to pray and bring before him, it's, we're bringing before the throne of grace. We're always asking for some form of things we don't deserve. Whether it's more mercy, more of the same, need more mercy today, or I need to see souls saved, or I'm sick, my loved one's sick. You're asking God to intervene, and that's through some form of grace, something that you're asking for that you don't have any right to ask for apart from God's goodness and grace given to you by Christ. So here we go. Be gracious to me. That's it. Preserve my life. Be gracious to me. And the sense of urgency, it's a good reminder for prayer requests. For to you do I cry all the day. So this request in light of verse 14, these enemies, insolent men, is really serious. It's causing David to pray continuously all day. And then he asks another request, gladden my soul. Gladden the soul of your servant. And that's going to take deliverance. It gladden my soul in the context of this pursuit from the enemy. That's going to take deliverance to do. He's lifting his soul up to God, right? In verse 4, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Lifting it up to God. In God's presence, there's peace, there's joy, there's gladness. Gladden my soul. There's an intimacy there. My soul is lifted up to where you are. Can you gladden it? Make me glad again. And then he again defines God. And this is a promise in the verse 5. This is a promise to everyone who would call upon God. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. You can take that one to the bank. If you call upon God, he will show himself good, forgiving, and to be abounding in steadfast love. And so you'll see that too, I think, 4 times I counted, steadfast love. God described to have that. Again, give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. There's the second ask for grace specifically, asking for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. So this is almost like, this is what I do. It's David saying, I call upon you when I'm in trouble because you answer me. That's what I'm doing again. And then he goes into this description of God's majesty, right? Why to God? Does he believe this God can answer him? Well, because there's none like him among the gods. Nor are there any works like this God. One true God. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone, singular, are God. That's why he's coming before him. He's answered me before. He's my God. I have a relationship with him. I seek to be godly. I define myself as godly, as someone trying to be faithful to God, trusting in him, possessing him as my God. And I do that because there's none like him. Nobody, no other God that can do these wondrous things. There's no other place to turn. And you think about that in terms of the actual false idols in this context, but you can also think about it in terms of things that you would run to with your needs, with your worries, with your anxieties, aside from God. And those could apply here, whether it be, I'm tired from the anxieties of the day. I want to turn on a TV and just not think. Well, that could be something you're running to instead of God. That could be set up as a false God here. Many other things you could apply here that you would run to instead of running to God. But there's no help. There's no preservation of life and grace given and inclination, bending of the ear, and any of those things, only in God. And so David sees that in this description of God's, singular ability to answer this prayer. Then there's a request there in verse 11, for wisdom, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. A sense of renewal of the fear of God, and a bit of a asking God to teach him. I need to know things I don't know today to walk with you. I need to walk in truth. Verse 12, I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Why? For great is your steadfast love toward me. There it is again. He's not just praying this for the first time. Again, he has this relationship with God. He's seen God come through before. And he's calling on that steadfast love. That steadfast love was promised to David in the covenant that God made with him. And there it is again. He's calling on that. Your great is your steadfast love to me. You have, it's already been done. You've delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. So from death, you've delivered me already. You can do that again. You can do anything less than that again. You can show yourself graceful to be gracious again. And as I already called out, verse 14, that's the context. What's causing David to even pray this way? These insolent men risen up against him. These people who are not like David, not like us setting God before them. They don't do that. They're ruthless and they seek his life. Verse 15, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful, again, and gracious. I think that's the four. No. Which I might have been five. You can count them. You can go back and count the references of God's grace. Defining God again. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. And he's abounding in steadfast love. I'm looking for stability of your love. And I'm finding it. Found it before. I'm going to find it again because that's who you are. I'm defining you that way. That right view of God and his prayer. And that's what we need in our prayer. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign of your favor. That those who hate me may see and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. You came through for me, put my enemies to shame by coming through for me in the way I'm asking for this. So I thought this was just really a good psalm to meditate on in light of prayer. So many requests David's bringing before God in here, and all throughout, just asking for things he doesn't deserve and calling that out. Grace, this is grace. I need grace. You're gracious. I need your love to continue to be steadfast. That's who you are. That's who you've been to me. And that's who he is to us. He's gracious. We can come before him asking for more of that. He's abounding in that. He's abounding in steadfast love for us, just like he did here for David in this psalm. And he's answered us before, like it says in verse 7. He can answer us again. He bends his ear to us because he's not a stranger to us, because we do have that relationship with him. We can possess him. We do possess him as our God. So we are his children, his servants, as David defines. So that's how we're coming to God today when we come to pray. So when you think about requests that we can share this morning and pray for one another with, it's nothing we're doing. It's this grace of God that's given to us through Jesus Christ. And we can call on that and ask for more of it here this morning and do that on behalf of each other. And I'll start off with a request for my sister-in-law. She lost her grandma. My sister-in-law, Catherine, whose family lives in the Philippines, and her grandma, who's 96, took a turn recently and passed away. So she asked for prayer for their family and for her, everyone who's going to grieve in that. So I thought we would start with that. But anything else we can bring before God in light of the steadfast love, in light of his track record of being gracious, as we see in this psalm. I know Megan and Aaron, I remember them, right? I guess it's no news on that. You're here.
She lost her Nutriflow, whatever that means, last night. So
getting close.
At the house waiting. So.
Keep them in prayer.
She's on the launch pad. Yeah. I think there's
an inducer if
she
doesn't have faith by Jesus.
Okay. Very exciting. Yeah.
I had to ask for prayer for a friend of mine who everybody calls Baby. She had COVID and pneumonia, and she's home now. So, and also a family friend of me and Rex's, she was throwing up blood and coming out the other end. And so, but she's still at the lake. I think they took her out of ICU, put her in a room. And her husband has been calling me just to kind of keep me posted. And he said, they've been married probably for more than 40-some years. And he said, I don't know what I would do without her. And I said, well, I hope you tell her that and don't ever take her for granted. And he said, oh, I don't think I will. So I just want to ask the Lord to move in that family. They lost both of their children tragically. And it's just really tragic. But and they did. They know the truth, but I don't. They're living it. So just want to ask the Lord to really move towards salvation in that relationship. You know, that he really does love his wife, but more so that they love the Lord so that they can love one another.
Right.
But I do praise the Lord that he hasn't taken her, and he didn't take Baby, you know.
Yeah, but that was the same request you had last
yeah.
last week.
Baby
that
is
sounded
calling.
Really urgent.
Baby is
yeah.
calling. So
that's amazing.
Praying and that the Lord bent down and heard our cry.
Yeah, that sounded pretty dire.
Yeah, pneumonia and COVID.
Yeah.
And she has one kidney. She's a mess.
Yeah. Well, praise God for answering prayer.
Yes.
For a request for our church, possibly next door, the Trinity. This is where God wants us to be, how we have a facility, and how we can do it. Other testimony of the very campus. That's it. Also, did you want to share the praise report? Or you want me to? When your uncle?
Oh yeah. So praise report is that my uncle Dave, who's my dad's older brother, came to Christ this week.
Oh yeah.
And got some. Dad called me with some good news and told me that Uncle Dave called him over and wanted to talk and told him, tell me what you know about baptism. What do you know about baptism? And Dad told him, took him through scripture and said, that's what I thought. That's what I've been basically hearing God tell me in scripture. I want to be baptized. I'm ready. You know, so they talked to Brother Mark and tried to get that done pretty soon. But this is a huge answer to prayer. I mean, he's been in the Catholic Church his whole life, and the Lord's just been dealing with him. We've been seeing it from afar, just in the way he talks, and it's been such a blessing to see God intervene. And so, praise God for that.
I think we're on the calendar for June 27th next year.
Oh, okay.
Randy. And I don't think they have a baptism over there. Did anybody remember seeing a baptism over there? Because we would probably make that work.
That could work, yeah.
It would work. You know, I just don't know if they have it.
Okay, yeah. You can follow up on that. God's still answering prayer.
Yeah, I think about when God saves somebody. It always gets in the back of my mind. So that's why you haven't come again. So that's why we still have a morning and an evening still going, because there's somebody out there still waiting. God's still going to extend mercy and grace to you that he's putting everything else on hold, judgment-wise, to bring him in. It's like, that's all we have a 2020 or 2021. So get David in. Come in. Because somebody's going to be the last one.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's some of these things, you know, you never thought you would see.
Yeah.
And you have those in your life, like, I never thought I'd see that. Saying in the right mind, talking about God this way, you know. But praise God. You had one?
Yeah, I have a friend, Oris Green. He's a truck driver. We've been friends for probably 10 years now. And him and his wife and daughter are going through some hardships. So his wife had this surgery for her eyes, and they messed up on the surgery. She ended up in a car wreck, and she had to have corrective, like, they tried all kinds of different lenses, and so they ended up having to do corrective surgery on her eyes, and it cost, like, over $150,000. So they're in debt right now to the point of where his wages are garnished, and they have an attorney that's trying to basically hold this company that did the surgery accountable, and they've even come out and said that they messed up. So they're trying to reach a settlement. So there's several prayer requests I have in the situation. He wants to get a job at home. Right now he can't because they're barring from his wages, so he has to be on the road all the time. Hardly gets to see his wife and daughter. So he's looking at one job that would have him home, kind of similar to what I did at James, where he'll be home every weekend, maybe every other weekend. But they're waiting on this settlement. And hopefully, post settlement, he would be in a position where he could get something maybe 40 to 50 hours a week or a month. So just pray that the Lord would work in their favor in this settlement. To get out of debt, with all of these medical expenses that they're having to cover right now.
And would you say their names, or I might have missed it?
It's Horace Green and Jackie Green.
Okay. Anyone else?
Just continue to pray for Sharon's mom with pancreatic cancer.
And does she know the Lord, or?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
John, I think one came to the chat.
Okay. For Tim, keep his mom and dad in prayer as dad is now.
Yeah, Tim's dad's not doing well.
Okay.
And they might have been in South Carolina.
So. Okay. Well, why don't we go to the Lord in prayer with these things? and keeping in mind what we read about, that he's steadfast in his love for us. He's gracious to us. And we have the ability, because of Christ, to come before the throne of grace and to beseech him on these things. So I can open this up, and Brother Dustin, if you close this when everyone's done. Thanks. Dear Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we're so thankful for the truth we read this morning, Father. Your word that's as plain as day, Father, just even in this psalm, Lord, so many truths about you, who you are to us. All through the work that you've done, Lord. And we praise your name for that. We praise you that we can ask, Lord, and we do ask this morning that you would bend your ear to us, that you would incline to us and hear us, Father. Lord, we would agree on so many of these things. This congregation would agree that your name could be glorified in light of some of these requests, Lord, that folks have brought up, Lord, for sickness and many for sickness and in their souls, Lord, needing to be saved, needing you to intervene and draw them in. Lord, we want to lift those up and ask if you would intervene, Lord, like you've done, like we're praising you for about my uncle, Father. You would do that again. Be gracious again. We know we're asking for things that, Lord, we didn't merit. And that's what helps us to be so free, Father, to continue to ask. We know that you're abounding in steadfast love. You're slow to anger, Lord. You're rich in mercy. Lord, and you care, Lord, deeply about your servants, Father. And we bring our needs before you and confess, as David did, that we're weak and needy. We ask you to intervene. We ask for grace and, Lord, Megan and Aaron, Lord, with their situation, anticipation, Father. We ask for grace, Lord, and Elijah, the friends that Claire brought up, Lord. Ask for salvation, Lord. Ask for your mercy to be manifested there. Lord, from the Sharon's mom, the same, Father, we bring that before you and ask for your help, for wisdom, Lord, in interactions. Lord, to make a way. Would you make a way for, Lord, your truth to shine forth in her life like it never has, Father, for her to hear something she's never heard in that way, Lord. Lord, we lift all these requests to you, Lord. We lift our church. We ask for wisdom as we want to walk in your truth like David prayed, Father. We want to, we don't want to misstep. We want to walk in your truth as a church, Lord. And we need wisdom that we don't have, Father. We need things from you we don't know. We need your light. And we ask that you go before us, Father. Lord, that you would own this time of worship, Lord. This time of preaching and singing songs, Lord, to you and to one another as we fellowship, Lord. Just be with us time. Pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to gather in your name and for your glory today, Lord. Praise you for the word that has been preached that we get to read and to study and to marvel at the glory of your grace, Lord. This is mentioned throughout this psalm. Your loving kindness, your steadfast love. We call out and ask, just as the psalmist did, Lord, you would incline your ear, Lord, to all of our requests. There have been many today, Lord. People at the beginning of earthly life, like Megan and Aaron, about to have a baby, Lord. We just pray that you would put a hedge of protection around them, give doctors and everyone involved some wisdom, your discretion and discernment, Lord, mother and baby would be healthy, and that we could all celebrate with them, Lord. We also thank you for the lives of people that are at the end of life, Lord, but we also pray for salvation, such as for Michelle's mom, as she is fallen very ill. Sounds like she has also been exposed to a lot that is not true, Lord, through this religious realm, Lord. But we pray that there would be truth that would crush earthly religion, man-made fallacies, Lord. We pray that your Spirit would make our heart fertile grounds, and that you would use with Sharon and Mr. Tom and other Christians to share your love, to share the truth of your word, to share eternity, and the hope that all of us that are truly a part of your bride get to marvel in and enjoy, Lord. Praise you, Lord, that you are doing a work in each of us and giving us testimonies and spheres of influence. We thank you for Ms. Claire's continued influence. And she is steadfast in not only encouraging, but sharing the love of Christ with friends and with family, Lord. She's consistent to pray for them. Thank you for the testimony of Ms. Joanne, who's consistent to always remind us to pray for lost loved ones as well. But we also think of for Kites and the decisions, the difficulties that they're going through with Mr. Tim's parents. And pray, Lord, that it would be encouraging to them and give them strength and endurance. Lord, for the decisions that our church is facing, Lord, we know that it is all the time is all, it's all current to you, Lord. You're already meeting with us wherever, whatever physical location we will meet in the future, Lord. And we can take great encouragement in that, whether that's next door or here or somewhere else that we haven't even contemplated. But Lord, we do pray that your wisdom, that your Spirit would speak to each of us and guide us to have a uniform direction, Lord, to have consistency, to not let a big, seemingly big decision or something that the church has wrestled with for many years, Lord, to put that in any way cause any kind of rifts or difficulty or separation amongst us, Lord. That, as the psalm says, in your loving kindness, Lord, that you would just remind us of the call that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ. That our first and foremost mission is to glorify you, Lord, and would lead us through your Spirit into the way to do that, Lord, where's me and any other decisions that we have to face in the coming days around that, Lord. Praise you so much for this service. We thank you so much for your Spirit ministering to John through Psalm 86 and for the devotion that you shared today. Pray for Mr. Mark, the series that he's going through, Lord, these difficult truths that we sometimes even loved ones that we know or even ourselves, and we question our own salvation, Lord, that we have to wrestle with, Lord. We pray that your Spirit would only speak truth through him, and your Spirit would interpret that to each of us, Lord, that you would go out encouraged, but also challenge. Lord, we just thank you so much for the church that you've placed us in, for the brothers and sisters in Christ, for worship on our lips, and for the teaching that comes to our ears every week, Lord, and teaching in our own times and our own homes, Lord. Praise you for all of these things.
Praise the Seven of God. I think before the end of this son. Lord, we thank you that you all deal with us according to our sin, according to our rejoice and failures. We thank you for grace with you and mercy. And it's due every day, good morning. We thank you for the morning and it's given. We're able to meet together, that we're able to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that you came to reconcile us to yourself, that you also came to reconcile us to truth. We're not the orphans and wanderers going and being blown about by every wind of doctrine that's out there in this false world, this evil world, this loveless and self-centered world. Lord, if there's it's things that are hard to understand in Scripture, to storm over, but you've come to reconcile us to truth with your Spirit, so that we may worship you in Spirit and in truth. So we give you thanks for that this morning. Lord, as we embark to worship you and raise our voices and choose hymns, the prayer would be pleasing in your sight and in your ears. I wonder if you would prepare our hearts to this evening, that we would have a clear conscience as we worship you, so that we may not only worship you, but walk before you. Thank you for your words and the truth of your word. The fellowship that we're blessed with here. Lord, and we acknowledge our weakness when it comes to making decisions and direction. We pray you to be with that as well, Lord, as we consider the direction of the church, the direction of the study, all the other things that we trickle down to our everyday lives, our families, decisions that we made. Lord, we give you thanks for God's uncle, Lord, and just the rejoicing that must be taking place in one all-star. Lord, we thank you that you didn't just save somebody. You answered prayers from the church. That other people can look on and see the work that's been done and consider that that soul was lost, a child of wrath, and for a good. And you answered their prayers specifically to save that person. Lord, if they can remember, I can give you thanks. Know that you're not only God to save, but you're God to answer the prayers. Lord, we lift up the lady with prayer and riches. Brothers, our lost loved ones, that you would save some of them as well. Lord, those that you put on our hearts, you don't just put them on there accidentally, Lord, you put them on there to even get our service and working with the God of goodness and goodness. As us lifting up our prayers to you, to your hearing our prayers. So we're thankful that not only hear our prayers, but you intercede for us. There won't be any lost that are in your hand. The chosen. Lord, in you became a curse for us on the cross. He took the wrath that was due for us in himself. So the Lord God has said, thank you that you are for saving us. For redeeming us, Lord, let it not be wasted. Jesus. Amen.